Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Avodah Zorah Daf Chof Beis. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. As we turn our attention to Daf Chof Beis, about 8 lines from the top, you will see a diamond with a colored-in tip. We've explained on the side of our Gemara under the Mivneh heading, you'll notice a diamond feature there. Shnei Lishonos b'ma hitir rovo b'inyan goy v'Yisrael she'osku b'avoyda mishuteves. There are two versions as to what rovo allowed in the case of a Gentile and a Jew working together, legabi Shabbos and legabi Orla. One lashon features the incident that rovo allowed was a Shabbos related incident, and the other version, the second version, is an Orla-related incident. The Gemara continues. Hanohu morikoi. These are people that plant gardens of karkum. Karkum, a certain type of spice plant. The oivei kechovim nokid b'shabato. The Gentile, the idol worshipper, took upon himself to do the agricultural work of plowing, planting, and harvesting on Shabbosos. Yisrael bechad b'shabata, and the Jew would do the work on Sundays. Also, lekame de Rava, the case came in front of Rava, is this arrangement allowed? In other words, is the work that the Goy is doing on Shabbos viewed as the Goy's own work and not as if he is working as an agent on behalf of the Jew? So the Gemara says, Shora lehu, Rava allowed this arrangement, permitted it, and the Jew was able to benefit and enjoy his wages. Esve Ravina leRava. Ravina raises an objection. Yisrael v'avikichovim shekiblu sode b'shutfis, a Jew and a Gentile that received a field to cultivate in partnership. In other words, they would together, they would as partners cultivate the field. And after the field was received by them for cultivation purposes, we say as follows: Lo yoimar Yisrael v'kichavim tu chelkichav b'Shabbos v'ani b'chol. The Jew is not allowed to say to the Gentile, "You take your portion from the work that you do on Shabbos, and I will take my portion of the wages from the work that I do during the weekdays." Because such an arrangement is basically says that the work that the Gentile does on Shabbos is in fact there's a partial obligation on the Jew to be working on the Shabbos also, and the assignment by the Jew of the Gentile to work on the Shabbos makes the Gentile an agent of the Jew. V'im hisnu mitchila muter. If prior to their accepting the field, they stipulate that we will accept the field on conditions that the Gentile works on Shabbos and the Jew will work on Sunday, then the arrangement is acceptable, because the Jew never accepted upon himself any Shabbos obligations. This is in distinction to the case just before, where if after they received the obligation to work the field jointly, then they entered this type of arrangement, that would not be allowed, because their initial entrance into the obligation involved they're working each day jointly, including Shabbos. And under such circumstances that we just mentioned, the Jew is not allowed to subsequently appoint the Gentile to do all of the Shabbos work, because then the Gentile is operating or serving as an agent of the Jew. The im bo l'cheshbon osur. Let us glance at the Rashi to explain this particular section. The im bo l'cheshbon lav ahisnu mitchila koy. This section of the Tanaic source, which is in a frame, you can see by our markings, by the way, that there was a semicolon before this expression of the im bo l'cheshbon, indicating that it's not a phrase that's commenting on that which appeared just before it, namely the stipulation before their obligation. Elo milsa ba'anpi nafshehi, Rashi goes on. It's a separate clause. Klomar, im kiblu stam v'osu stam, if these two accepted the field without any stipulations, they accepted it in an unqualified fashion, and they also worked in an unqualified fashion. V'ayelhoi v'kichovim b'shabes v'yisrael b'choil. V'lo tzivo Yisrael. If it just worked out that the Gentile was there alone on Shabbos, and the Jew was alone on the weekday, and the Jew had not instructed the Gentile to work the field on Shabbos, and now it comes to their dividing the funds. Ubo l'cheshbon achar zman. And then they came to calculate, after a while, lomar, stating, kamo yemei Shabbos natalta ato, according to the number of Shabbos days that you took as your payment, and ani etol kenegdon yemei hachol, according to those number of Shabboses, I will take the corresponding number of weekdays that I work there. So if they enter such an agreement, then osir, Rashi says on that, osir deschar Shabbos hu notel, the Jew is by taking the wages for the weekdays, he's actually getting paid for the work that the Gentile did on Shabbos. The Goli Daito, he's by the statement made, how many Shabboses did you work, and I will take the corresponding number of weekdays, he reveals to us that the Gentile was his agent with regard to the Shabbos days, enabling the Jew to subsequently take the corresponding weekdays worth of wages. After hearing this, after Ravina's attack on Rava, because after all, Rava seemed to allow a case where the Gentile takes the wages for Shabbos and the Jew took the wages for the weekday, and we see from this source that that's not such an acceptable arrangement. Ichsif means Rava felt a feeling of embarrassment that he allowed something he shouldn't have allowed. However, Lesoif Igloy Milsa, in the end, it became revealed the Hisnu Meikora Havu, that the case that Rava allowed was a case that the two of them, the Gentile and the Jew, had pre-arranged before they accepted the job at all. They pre-arranged that the Goy would work on, the Gentile would work on Shabbosus, and that the Jew would work on the corresponding weekday. And that, according to the very source that was quoted, that arrangement is allowed. That's what the source said, Vim Hisnu Mitchila Mutter, and it was based, and that was the arrangement, and it turned out that Rava's lenient ruling corresponded to the source itself. No question, therefore, on Rava. As we go on in the Gemara, we see in the space to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text a Roman numeral number 2, indicating a second version of the Rava incident. Rav Gvia mi Beik Seal Omar, Rav Gvia from Beik Seal says, Hano shtile orla de orla have. These were people that were planting orla trees. In other words, the Jew and the Gentile were involved with dealing with saplings before their third year of development. Prior to the third year of development of a fruit tree, the fruit tree is called orla. Primarily the fruit is forbidden and it's forbidden to the level of what we call Isur Hanot. It's forbidden to benefit from the fruit. We might just add parenthetically that as far as cultivating and caring for orla trees, there is no prohibition. It's not parallel to Shabbos, where when it comes to Shabbos, the actual activity surrounding the tree is prohibited when on Shabbos. By orla, we don't say such a thing, that the cultivation of orla trees is quite all right. So we have, according to Rav Gavia Mibeik Seal, the incident involved the Jew and Gentile caring for orla trees. The arrangement was that the Gentile would benefit from the fruits during the first 3 years, and those are years that that are forbidden for a Jew to benefit from the fruit. And the Yisrael shnei de hetera, and the Jew would benefit from the years of heter. Asu lekamei de Rava, the case came to Rava shara lehu, and Rava allowed this arrangement. Let's take a look at the Rashi. Shora lehu, the heter gomer have. There is no problem over here. It's quite allowed. Toha afagav de kiblua yachad de chatchila, even though they accepted care of this orchard together. The Amar lo Yisrael heye atoy ve the gimel shonim halol vani gimel achrayim, and the Jew instructed the goy, you work the first three years, and I'll work 3 years afterwards. Ein kan isur shlichus. There is no violation of agency. Deha Yisrael nami shori lovda, because in fact, during the first 3 years, the Jew himself would have been allowed to cultivate the orchard. The imishum achilo Yisrael oichel kenegdon, and if you would raise as a problem the fact that the Jew is eating, is consuming the fruits of the subsequent years, of the allowed years, v'nimtzo nana b'hiras orlo shemochon, and it might appear then that the Jew was in effect selling his portion of the orla food to orla fruits to the Gentile in exchange for the heter fruit of the subsequent years. Ein ze nehene. This is not considered as if the Jew is benefiting from the orla fruits. Shekein hamishpat shana sheze oved hu ochel, because the understanding, the legal understanding, is such that the years that you work, you eat the fruits, and it's not as if that the Jew is selling his portion in the orla fruits, namely the fruits of the first 3 years, to the Gentile, because it was the Gentile that was doing all of the cultivation during those first 3 years, and by virtue of that fact, he is the one that's entitled initially to eat. He is at the outset, l'chatchila, he is the one entitled to consume those fruits of the first 3 years. The Gemara asks, well, according to Rav Gavia's presentation, that the Rava story was an Orla related story, but wasn't there a question that Ravina posed to Rava, and the question was came from a source dealing with Shabbos? Vaha oisve Ravina le Rava. Rashi explains, well, oisve Ravina v'im kein my tiufta gabi Shabbos isur shlichus b'malacha ma she'en kein b'orla. What was Ravina b'chlal raising as an objection when, if the case was an orla related case, there is no isur shlichus? So why object to Rava's ruling from a Shabbos case where there is an isur, a prohibition of agency? So the Gemara says, l'siyue saye, the source that Ravina brought, the source that was above in a frame, was brought by Ravina to support Rava. Rashi says, l'siyue saye, midikatoni hisnu l'chadchilo muter, from the fact that the source, albeit involving Shabbos, said that if they make an arrangement before they enter the obligation, then even in the Shabbos case, it would be mutter for the Jew to take wages for the work that he did on the weekdays corresponding to the Shabbos days that the goy worked. From the fact that the source said that, Alma, ki leko isur shlichus de melacha, where you have a situation of no violation of agency, as we said, since before they entered the obligation, it was already established that the goy would work on Shabbos, so the goy is not working as an agent of the Jew, because the Jew had no obligation to work on Shabbos at the very outset. So where there is no isur shlichus, shori, then there is an allowance. Then we allow the each one to benefit from the wages or the produce. The afagav de mati hanol Israel, even though the Jew benefits from that arrangement, v'adin li orla. Likewise, since in the case of orla, as we said, there was no iser shlichus, therefore the arrangement is acceptable. So Ravina was in effect bringing that Shabbos source as a support to Rava's ruling, namely the clause in the source that Ravina brought that stated in hisnu mitchila mutter, that as we just saw in the Rashi, says that if there's no problem of agency, then the arrangement is allowed. So too in the case of Orla, as we said, there was no problem of agency because there was no malocha, no prohibition of cultivation in the first place. Therefore, the arrangement is mutter, and that source could serve as a support to Rava. The Gemara asks, well, but v'ho ichsif, but we saw that Rava became embarrassed. If someone's supporting your claim, why would you get embarrassed? So the Gemara says, as far as that point is concerned, lo hoyu dvara me'olam, there was never any embarrassment. Ibaya laho. The Gemara raises a question, stamo mai. To appreciate the question, let us glance at the Rashi. Stam omai, shekiblu stam v'yosu stam, v'yitochomim b'shabbos, v'yisrael b'chad b'shabbos. They received the field together, the Jew and the Gentile, without any stipulations, and they worked without any references to their days of work, and it just so happened that the Goy was working on Shabbos and the Jew on Sundays. V'lo amar Yisrael me'olam, tul ato es ha'shabbos, v'ani v'choyol, and the Jew never said, you take for the Shabbos that you worked, and I'll take for the weekdays that I worked. Mahu lachlik stam b'shove, the lo yaskir Yisrael es haShabbos. Can they take the money, let's say pool the money, and then divide it equally between themselves without the Jew making any reference to Shabbos? So the Gemara attempts to answer that by citing a section of the source we saw just above. Toshma. Im hisnu mitchila muter. If they stipulate before they enter the arrangement, and they specify before their obligation that the goy shall work on Sunday, on Shabbos, and the Jew shall work on Sundays, then, and supposedly only then, do we allow this sharing of days. Ha stamo, but in the case of stam, where there was no initial stipulation stating this, then ha stama osir. We've used a house marking around the word ha. This is the inference word, the point of inference. We want to emphasize that at this point we're inferring that the stam case, we're inferring from the clause of imhisnu mitchila muter that the stam case would be forbidden. Well, emo seifa. Then let's go on in the same source and see what we can infer from the seifa, from the final section. Imbo lecheshboin osir. If after they finished working, there was an explicit statement concerning the number of days that the number of Saturdays of Shabbosim that the goy worked, and the Jew said, according to that number, I will take the corresponding number of Sundays. That type of arrangement is forbidden. That's what we saw above under the case of Imbo Lecheshbon. That is forbidden, and we assumed by what we saw in the Rashi's, because there was a mention made of the number of days that the goy worked on Shabbos, and as a result of that, we said that revealed retroactively that the goy was working as an agent of the Jew. Ha stamo, but we can infer a case where no mention of Shabbos is uttered, then mutter, then it would be allowed. So we see, if we draw an inference from the Sefer, we see the case of Stam being allowed. That's contrary to the inference we drew from the clause just before. Elo mehal leko lamash mino. The Gemara rather says that from this source, from trying to make inferences from this source, we cannot come to anything conclusive. So the issue of Stamo remains unresolved. With that, we proceed to the next parak, the second parak of Avodah Zarah. The Mishnah opens up with a series of halachas, and we've emphasized or denoted the series with the use of a double underline. And we can say that the topic here concerns with what is allowed or not allowed to be entrusted to or in the presence, in privacy, of an idol worshipper. Ein mamidim behema bepuntagois shel oivdei kochavim, b'nei shechashudim al horavia. One is not allowed to entrust his animal to the innkeepers that are run by idol worshippers, because they, the Gentiles, the idol worshippers, are suspect of conducting intimacy with animals. And as a result of that, if I entrust my animal to him, I will be in violation of Lufnei Iver Lo Site Michshol, because a goy, a Gentile, is commanded amongst his seven Sheva Mitzvos Ben Noach, his seven Noahide laws, to refrain and desist from bestiality. Therefore, my entrusting the animal to him will serve as an enticement and a stumbling block regarding this prohibition. And likewise, a Jewish woman is not allowed to be in private with a Gentile, because they are suspect of conducting immorality, immoral intimacy with her. Velo yisyached odom imoim, and a male is not allowed to be in private with them, v'nei shechashudim al shvichus domim, because they are suspect of murder. The Gemara opens up by raising a contradiction. Before we go further in the Gemara, we have a note on the side, the topic heading, liyashev stira be'inyan chashad goyim b'rvias behemos. We're going to present a source now that would seem to indicate that the Gentiles are not suspect of having intimacy with animals. That would contradict the opening of our Mishnah. Following this, we will then see in the Gemara a series marking, one of our geometric forms, and in this case a bow tie, and we have an explanation. The mivneh, you'll notice on the outside margin, and there's an indication that this structure continues ad chof gimel amad aleph, meaning that when you get to the top of chof gimel amad aleph, you'll see a second bow tie, and in fact beyond that, a few lines after that, a third one as well. And it's easy to find them, even if one can't spot the bow ties immediately. One can certainly spot the numbering that we've added to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, Roman numerals. In this case, where we are in our Gemara on Omid Beis, on Chof Beis Omid Beis, there's a Roman numeral number 1 that you can see at the upper part of the page, to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. 2 and 3 follow on Chof Gimel. So we now proceed with the Gemara itself. Viromini, we raise a contradiction from the following source. Loikhin mehen behema the korban. One is allowed to purchase from Gentiles an animal for the purposes of offering as a sacrifice in the Beis HaMikdash. In general, animals dedicated to sacrifices must be free of all kinds of imperfections and sinful use. And yet there is an allowance to purchase from the Gentiles animals for the purposes of offering a korban, v'ein choshishin, and we don't worry or we don't suspect, lo mishum roveya v'lo shum nirba v'lo mishum mukze v'lo mishum nevad. One does not have to worry about, and we've dashed underlined the main things for our discussion, that it was used in different forms of bestiality, whether an active participant in the act of intimacy, that's the rovea, or nearby where it's the passive one, where a human being comes upon it, enters it, so to speak. And two other things one does not have to worry about. Mukze means being set aside as an offering to an idol. I don't have to worry about that the animal I bought was set aside by the Gentile owner as an offering to his deity. And v'lomi shum nevad, I don't have to worry about the possibility of the goy, of the Gentile, having worshipped or bowed down to the animal that I just bought. The Gemara goes on, and as you can see, we're in the middle of a long question. We've indicated this by a kuf that's encircled, starting from the top line, followed by a dashed vertical line, indicating that all of the lines of the Gemara opposite this dashed vertical line form the question. So we continue in the Gemara. Bishlamo muktzav in Evad. I understand very well why I don't have to worry about those possibilities, because im iso de aktiv, im iso de pache, lo havin mazvin le. If it were so, im iso, if it were so that the pache, that he worshipped it, or the aktiv, that he set it aside as an offering to his deity, he would not have sold it. Lo havin mazvin le, would not have sold it. That I can understand, and that's why those problems I don't have to worry about. Ela roiveya v'nirba lochush, but according to what we saw in our Mishnah, that the Gentiles have a tendency to conduct immorality with animals. How is it that I'm allowed to buy from them animals and then offer it as a sacrifice when this fear, when this suspicion supposedly exists based on what we saw in the Mishnah? And yet, we're allowed to buy it for sacrifices. So this point, this halacha shows us that we don't suspect the Gentiles as those conducting intimacy with animals. Omar Rav Tachlifa, Omar Rav Shilo, Baravino, Mishmei de Rav. This, as you can see, is with a bow tie marking, and it's the first of three resolutions to the stira, to the contradiction that we just learned. He says as follows, Ovid Kochovim Chos al Behemtoi Shalote Oker. There's a difference between the Jewish animal that's entrusted to the Pundit, to the Goy, to the inn operated by the idol worshipper, and the case cited just above at the top of this summit where it involves my purchasing an animal from the Goy. When I'm purchasing an animal from the Goy, that's an animal that he owned. It was his animal. He has compassion, so to speak, or he has financial concern over his animal, which basically says that he would not have relations with it, because if a male human being would have intimacy with a female cow, with a female behemoth, it will become unfit for bearing children. That's what the Gemara means here, shalote oker. He wouldn't want to have intimacy so that it doesn't become barren. The Gemara says, well, ha tenach nekevos. That is a good explanation regarding the nekevos. Before we go on, let's just go over to complete the thought that we just mentioned previously, is that when it comes to an Ovid Kehovim's own animal, he won't have relations with it because of the fear of causing it barrenness. However, regarding our animals, a Jewish animal that is entrusted to the inn operated by the Goy, he doesn't have any compassion, he doesn't have any financial concerns over the welfare of the Jewish-owned animal. Therefore, he will have relations with it, and hence our Mishnah's restriction against entrusting our animals to the Goyim. So the Gemara goes on here and says, Ha-tenach nekevos, this whole allowance of purchasing korbanos from the goyim works out well with regard to female animals because of the concern that by having relations, by the goy having relations with his own female animal, it will cause her barrenness. Therefore, that fear doesn't exist, and I can buy from them animals. Well, that works out well. I can buy from them female animals. Zechora ma'ikol ameimar. What about the allowance of buying male animals from them? With regard to males, the chashash of becoming barren doesn't exist. That's a female consideration. So how is it that I'm allowed to buy from them male animals? Is there not a chashash that they will have relations with it? And male animals also are fit for korbanos. Certain korbanos have to be for male animals. Amar Rav Kahana, hoyul umakfishin babosar. With male animals as well, the male Gentile is not going to want to conduct intimacy with his male animal because it's makhishin babosar. Literally, it has to do with it weakens its flesh. For our purposes, there's a financial loss in value if a person would do that. Therefore, male animals and female animals, one can purchase from the Gentile. Elohod de Sanya. We have the following source that will raise, from which we will raise a question. Loikhin behemo me roya shelahen. One is allowed to purchase an animal from a Gentile shepherd. Well, assuming for the moment that the shepherd doesn't own those animals, is there not the suspicion that the shepherd would have had intimacy with them? And yet, it says, I can buy animals for the purposes of sacrifices from a Gentile shepherd. Lechosh Dilma Ravolo, why should we not suspect that he had conducted relations with the animal? After all, it's not his animal. He has nothing to lose, so to speak, and he has his lustful satisfaction to gain. The Gemara answers, Roya Shalen Misure Mishum Hefsit Schar. The shepherd there, the Gentile shepherd, is worried about if he causes any damage to the animal that he's charged with, he won't get paid his wages. Well, if the Gemara goes on and asks the question, Elohad de Sanya, the source says, Ein Moistrin Behemo Leroya Shilahen. I'm not allowed to give my animal, the Jewish animal, to a Gentile shepherd. And the suspicion would be that the Gentile shepherd is going to have relations with my animal. Well, but why should we worry about that? Can we not say that the Gentile shepherd will be worried about his losing his wages if my animal is damaged through his act of intimacy? The Gemara says the Jewish owner is not going to be aware that something took place. Inhu, the Gentiles, the idol worshippers amongst themselves, the Yadi Bahadodi, they know of each other. Each one knows that the next guy has a tendency to want to have relations with animals. Mirtasi, they are afraid of one another. In other words, when the shepherd knows that the Gentile owner is aware of this tendency, and he'll be deterred from having the intimacy. However, Anan de lo yadinan bahu, we, the Jewish people, who are not familiar with this abhorrent practice, so lo mirtasi, the Gentile shepherds are not afraid of the Jewish owner discovering their ill-reputed behavior. Omar Rabbo, Hainu Damri Inchi. Rabbo says that this difference between Goy, Gentile awareness, one of the other in their immorality, as opposed to the Jews' lack of awareness, this is captured in the following, Hainu Damri Inchi, in the following common saying. Michtava glola boza, ragla b'chavre yoda. Michtava is a stylus, which is a tool that's used to etch out stone. So the metal, the michtava, this utensil that's used for etching out on stone, glola is a stone or a marble, boza is able to tear and hence leave an imprint or a carving out in the stone. Raglo b'chavre yoda. Raglo is a word indicating a rochil, a tail bearer. One who is a tail bearer is afraid of someone else who practices the same. So the imagery here is just like a stone is afraid of the stylus because it's going to come and etch it out and carve it out. So too a tail bearer is afraid of someone else like himself that also could cast to create a bad reputation. So this idea of one who's engaged in something is aware of the other who's engaged in the same thing. This is what we were alluding to before, that the one Gentile is aware of the behavior and has heightened awareness of the other Gentile. So when a Gentile shepherd gets animals from a Gentile animal owner, he won't misbehave with the animal because the Gentile animal owner is sensitized to this possibility of immorality being conducted with his animals, and hence the possibility of the animal's depreciation. Ihochi Zichorim Minekevois Lo Nizvon.
male animals from female owners, we should not be allowed to to be purchased. The chayshino dilma marba ole iluha. Is there not a fear that the female owner, female human being, will bring the male animal upon her? In such a case, there is no chashash of ikur, of the animal becoming barren. We're talking about a male animal. It doesn't bear children. And the male animal having relations with the female human being will also not result in kichesh bosar, in some kind of weakening of flesh. So is there not an element of suspicion when it comes to buying male animals from female owners, and yet we don't find such a restriction? The Gemara says the reason there's no restriction is because there's a built-in deterrent for the human female Gentile to practice this immorality. Kevon de migri ba mirtasa. Since an animal, once it has it has relations with its female owner, the animal will trail after her wherever she goes. And people seeing this, beholding this scene, will expose her wayward behavior, and hence she wouldn't want that to be in the eyes of the public, so she won't get started with the behemoth, with the animal, in the first place. The Gemara asks, Ela ha detani Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef has the following Tanaic teaching, Armalta lo tarbi kalba. Point aleph is that an almona is a widow, basically a lonely woman. She's a widow. She is not allowed to raise a dog. Second point, tashri bar beirav b'ushpiza. She should also not host in her home a yeshiva student, Torah students often travel away from home and they need a place to stay. So an almona is warned here, don't host a yeshiva student. So Bishlamo Bar Beirav, I understand very well why a lonely almona woman, a lonely widow, should not host a yeshiva student, because there is grounds for suspecting intimacy, and it will be covered up. Tznia lo, he won't reveal it. And therefore, to distance ourselves from this temptation, we tell her, don't welcome him into your home as a tenant. Ela kalba, but with regard to the dog, why should the almona not be able to raise a dog? What are you going to say? We're afraid that she'll conduct intimacy with the dog. There's no fear of that. Kevon de migra ba mirtasa, since it will trail after her, as we just said above. She would be deterred. She wouldn't want people to see the dog trailing her wherever she goes. So, by the fact that she is warned not to raise the dog, it doesn't seem that there is such a deterrent. And if that be the case, so how is it that we allow the purchase of male animals from female owners? The Gemara answers, Kevon dechishad yolei umsa umasrich abasra. With regard to dogs, dogs are unlike other animals. A dog, if you throw it meat and feed it, it will also trail after you. Neymar Amrienshi, when people will see when the woman has a dog trailing her, people will say, Hai demisrich abasra, the fact that the dog is following her around, Mishum umsa dekal masrich, it's probably because of meat that she fed it. Since there is this cover, so to speak, the halacha preempts her raising the dog, because she may very well conduct intimacy with it. And even though that may be the real reason the dog is following her around, nevertheless, people, when it comes to a dog, will say it's because of the meat she threw to it. However, in the case of other animals, especially non-meat-eating animals, like cows, goats, sheep, those type of creatures that are fit for korbanos, if that animal is seen following her, it certainly wasn't fed any meat, it doesn't eat meat, Why is the animal following her around? It must be because she conducted intimacy with it, and she wouldn't want that to happen. Therefore, she won't conduct intimacy with those animals, and therefore I'm allowed to buy them from the female Gentile. Question. Nekevois etzel nekevois, mai taima lo miachvinon. Why is it that one is not allowed to entrust female animals with female innkeepers? If you think about it, there doesn't seem to be any problem of, there's no intimacy problem that could arise. The Gemara answers with a long answer. You'll notice to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, there's an encircled tuff with a long dashed, with a dashed vertical line. This is a long answer. All of the lines opposite this dashed vertical line are part of the answer. The question once again is, why is it that we are not allowed to entrust female animals by female Gentile innkeepers? Omar mar ufa bar chamo mitnei sheha'oivde kechovim mitzuyin etzel neshei chavrehen. The idol worshippers often visit their friends' wives. Of course, they're interested in conducting intimacy with their friends' wives. Upa'amim she'eno motza, and oftentimes he doesn't find her home. The Gentile male neighbor knocks on his neighbor's door, and he doesn't find he doesn't find the lady of the house there. He'll find the animal, though, of his neighbor, and he'll have relations. So that if I entrust an animal, a female animal, by a female innkeeper, it could very well be that male neighbors will come in and have relations with it. The Iboy Sema, Fibu Motza, Nami Rova. This second approach says even further than the first approach. Even if the lady of the house is home, the male Gentile, the male idol worshipper, will actually opt as a first choice the animal. Diomamar, Chaviva Alein Behemton Shel Yisrael, Yoser Minishosehem. More beloved upon the Gentile men are the animals owned by Jews more than their own women. More than the women, the Gentile women themselves, the idol worshipper would prefer having relations with a Jewish owned animal. The Yom Rabbi Yochanan, Bishol Shebo Nochash Al Na Al Chava Hitil Bo Zuhamo. In the story of creation, where Adam and Chava were featured, the Nochash, sometimes interpreted as translated as the snake, it had an act of intimacy. It conducted an act of intimacy with Chava, and at that moment, it cast in it something called Zuama. Zuama would have to do with something. Literally, it means something dirty, but in our context, it has to do with an allure to immorality and bestiality. So we say as follows. As a result of that, we find the goyim having a tendency to desire these things. That's a function of the hatolas zuama by the nochash on chavo. Well, if that took place, Chava was the mother of mankind, Ihochi Yisrael Nami, so that problem should exist with regard to Yisrael also. This tendency to desire immoral relations even with beasts, and yet there's no restriction of entrusting animals to Jewish innkeepers. The Gemara answers, Yisrael sha'omdu har Sinai poska zu amoson. This characteristic that we term Zuhama ceased to be a part of the Jews, who were a people that stood at the foot of Mount Sinai to receive the Torah. That experience, the Sinai experience, stopped the Zuhama from operating. Oivde kechavim sheloi omdu al har Sinai lo poska zuhamasam. Idol worshippers that did not stand at Sinai, they did not experience this canceling of the Zuamo, and therefore it continues on and on with regard to idol worshippers. And therefore, we are warned against entrusting our animals to Oivdei Kechavin. At this point, we notice a bracketed section in the Gemara. Generally speaking, the use of brackets indicates skipping the text for the sake of making the reading of the Gemara easier. This is a bit of an exception. The Gemara after the brackets presents a second and third resolution to the stira that we learned at the top of our Omid Beis, your Chof Beis Omid Beis, concerning the issue of do or do not Goyim have, are they or are they not suspect of roveh, bestiality with animals. On the Mishnah we saw they seem to be suspect, and from the source of dealing with purchasing of animals for Gabonis, from them we saw that they are not suspect. We're exposed already to resolution number one in the name of Rav. On Chof Gimel Amud Aleph, we will see Ravina and Rabbi Pedas also offering their resolutions. Until we get to that, we have a bracketed section that raises a question concerning birds, the entrusting of birds to Gentiles. The Gemara raises the question and also offers an answer to that question, and that's self-contained in this bracketed section. And for that reason, we presented this in brackets, because it's a self-contained question and answer, realizing that after the brackets, we are going to get back to the general flow of the Gemara concerning resolving the contradiction that we made reference to before. So let us continue now with the bracketed section. Ibaya laho, oifois mai. What is the halacha, what is the law regarding entrusting birds by Gentiles? Are the idol worshippers suspect of having relations with birds, and hence I would not be allowed to entrust it because of the problem of lifnei iver lo sitein michshol? Toshma, the Omer of Yehuda Omer Shmuel, Mishum Rebbe Chanina. Ani ro'isi, we have a diamond around this expression to give it a sense of continuity or a series connected with the next ani ro'isi. You see a few lines later in the outside margin we featured this under the mivneh heading dugmos shel hanhoga megunah shel goyim. We're going to see two examples of a very questionable or wayward or a form of immoral behavior on the part of idol worshippers. So Rav Yehuda is in the name of Shmuel, in the name of Rabbi Chanina, tells us that ani ro'isi, I saw oivei kechavim shelokach avos min hashuk, that purchased a goose from the market, rav'ah, he had relations with it. So what we are doing with our markings, we're dash underlying avos, this is a type of oif, and rav'ah, he had relations with it. Then chonka, he strangled the bird, sala, he roasted it, v'ochla, and then ate it. The Omar Rabbi Yirmiya Midifti, Ani Roisi Aravi Echad, I saw an Arab, Shalokach Yerech Minashuk, he bought a piece of meat from, let's say, a thigh meat of an animal, the Chokak Ba, and he carved out a hole in this hunk of meat, Kidei Raviya, a hunk of meat, he carved out a hole suitable for entrance in the act of immorality, in the act of bestiality. In this case, it's not a beast, it's a hunk of meat, but a hole sufficient for the entrance. And Rava, he actually conducted himself, we'll say, an act of sexual relation with a piece of meat. And after doing that, Sala, he roasted the meat, the Ochla, and ate it. So we see from this that the suspicion concerning relations with animals would apply with regard to relations with birds as well, and hence I would not be allowed to entrust a bird to an idol worshipper, because I would be over on lifnei iver lo sitein michshol. I would be putting a stumbling block in front of him, enticing him to conduct immoral relations with a creature which is forbidden to the Gentiles as well. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.